From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Obama is trying to make peace with business leaders who've long been critical of the administration's approach to tax cuts and the economy in general. Speaking to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce this morning, Mr. Obama said it is time to reorganize and streamline.
So in the coming months, my administration will develop a proposal to merge, consolidate, and reorganize the federal government in a way that best serves the goal of a more competitive America. And we want to start with the 12 different agencies that deal with America's exports.
President Obama is trying to convince big business to hire more people that he says will then help spur economic growth. There are some signs of normal life returning to parts of the Egyptian capital, but a massive two-week-old protest is still gripping central Cairo. NPR's Corey Flintoff is on the scene where thousands are pledging to stay put until Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak resigns.
The square itself is really closed off by the military. People are able to get in and out of the access points, but it's really become isolated from the rest of the city. So we do see shops opening. We do see a lot of traffic on the streets. So people do seem to be getting back to normal in the rest of the city. There's still a lot of army presence, though, on the streets, and very little police presence that I've been able to see. I don't think that the Egyptian police have regrouped themselves and are ready to come back.
NPR's Corey Flintoff reporting. The internet giant AOL plans to shell out $315 million to acquire the Huffington Post news and opinion website. NPR's David Folkenflik reports it is the boldest stroke in AOL's effort to redefine itself.
At the moment, and this is true, AOL's biggest single revenue source arrives each month from people who still pay for its dial-up internet service and related subscription products, like email. That's imperiled in a broadband era. AOL's CEO Tim Armstrong has bet big instead on content, hiring a small cadre of established journalists and creating a new family of sites called Patch to cover hyper-local news. So far, it hasn't paid off. The highly trafficked Huffington Post, with a blend of unpaid blogs and original reporting, is expected to bring in waves of new visitors, advertisers, and AOL hopes new profits. Arianna Huffington, the liberal website's co-founder, will become editor-in-chief over all AOL content. One cautionary note about synergy. 11 years ago, AOL bought Time Warner. It is not just the largest, but one of the worst mergers in American corporate history. David Folkenflik, NPR News, New York.
Dow's up more than 0.5% at 12,170. This is NPR. The president of Sudan is congratulating the South, where voters from last month's referendum have chosen independence, apparently. Today, Omar al-Bashir said Sudan would offer the new state any aid possible. The final results of the vote are expected to be released later today. In 2005, Sudan's northern and southern regions ended more than 20 years of civil war that had claimed about 2 million lives. Officials in South Korea are questioning a group of 31 North Koreans who crossed the border between the two countries on a wooden fishing boat over the weekend. As Michael Rhee tells us from Seoul, it's not yet clear why the passengers crossed into South Korean waters.
According to military officials in the South, the boat was seized Saturday morning near the tense western sea border with North Korea. The ship contained 20 women and 11 men. Groups of North Koreans in the past have used boats to cross over and defect to the south, but that doesn't seem to be the case here. Yonhap News is quoting an unnamed official who says the North Koreans have not expressed a wish to defect. There reportedly is a possibility the boat drifted into South Korean waters as a result of mistaken coordinates or a loss of power. The incident comes as the two Koreas prepare to meet tomorrow morning. It would be the first direct talks between the two sides since North Korea's bombing of a South Korean island last November. For NPR News, I'm Michael Rhee in Seoul.
Communities in the path of two major fires in Western Australia remain evacuated while crews try to contain the blazes, one of which destroyed more than 40 homes and injured a firefighter. The two combined have charred about 4,000 acres to the north and southeast in the region. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News, Washington.